Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
This is the Chicago Way with John Cass and friends. And how many columnists have their own theme song? I don't think many. But how many columnists don't have a leg man? That's me. We'll get into that later. But first, with Will Lee and Jeff Carlin here in the studio, we're doing the podcast that we're going to put out. A lot going on today, a lot going on this week. But before we get into whether Donald Trump is a big fat baby, little wussy that he is, or, you know, anything about Iowa. Let me tell you what happened the other day. Here in Chicago, we don't have snow. But in Washington, there's a huge snowstorm. 3 feet. They have to dig it out. My brother calls me, tells me the plows got stuck. Then they're throwing sand on the street, and it looks like the dragon Smog just had bad chili and peppers. Okay, it is just ugly. And then now people are digging out and trying to claim what they think is called savesies, which is like a wussy Washington way to talk about it. It's really dibs. And I am Judge Dibs, as you know. The federal courts in Chicago have dealt with my, you know, with my column, and they have included it in their opinion. Judge Raymond Chang, right?
Edmund Chang
did it last year. And that was a story about a fellow who dug his space out, claimed dibs. Someone got into the space. He saw it. He's like, hey, what are you doing? He got upset, said he was going to bleep up their car. And then magically two cops chased him into his house and said, why are you saying that? And his response was, the magic words, two word sentence, the last one being you. So they arrested him. Mm-hmm. Turned out Judge Chang read the dibs stories, understood the meaning of dibs, and ruled that the cops were wrong. They had to pay a fine, I think 25,000, was it something like that?
There was a something fine like something, that.
Right? And they let the man go. So my friend Steve Cavendish, who's a former tribster, he's a barbecue expert and soccer aficionado, Jeff Carlin, is out in Washington now. He's the editor of City Paper. And he called me up asking for Judge Dibs.
A continental decision?
They need Judge Dibs to go out with the black robes for me to carry the Dibstitution, which is the sacred scrolls of Dibs. I feel like Denzel Washington in Book of Eli, like walking out there, you know, wandering the wilderness to try to make it to the promised land of Washington. But they don't have... they don't understand how to do dibs. They really don't. They freak out. The mayor says, no savesies. You can't save. You know?
It's very elementary. No savesies.
Wait a second.
No cutsies.
Washington, I know Washington's full of liars, thieves, and journalists. But does not a man own the fruit of his own labors, Jeff Carlin?
I don't know, John.
You dig it out, you dibs it, it's yours.
Yeah, I mean, Judge Dibs has spoken. I get it.
Wait, we just started this podcast, and now you're going commie on me?
No.
Because there are commies around here in this building who, not real commies, but kind of ones, and they want everyone to shovel together. You know, like shoulder to shoulder, down the street, for their neighbors, everyone helping out. Perhaps, you know, Jimmy Stewart is there, and, you know, like it's like Bedford Falls. Is that how it's done on the South Side, Willie?
Well, I've actually, I think my brother-in-law, he's one of the kind who will just, you know, maybe go further around a house, a few of his neighbors or whatever, especially if he doesn't see that they're older and that type of thing. He's that type of guy. So therefore, you don't have to, everybody should be shoveling their own walk so that you don't have to wait and have that uncomfortable, you know, that walking, you know, that uncomfortable walk when you're walking down the sidewalk and you're like, oh.
Like you're all of a sudden you're on your heel and you're thinking, whoa.
Uh-oh, am I going to make it through?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the sidewalk. Everyone should help the sidewalk. I'm talking about the street parking. You can't dibs your sidewalk. Street parking. So in Washington, Kevin, and I'm writing, I wrote a column in response to his. It worked out really well, right? What am I going to write about dibs? All of a sudden he calls me up. He wants to interview me. We both put our... Since we're friends, we both press the record button at the same time. Each of us gets a column out of it. I'm looking for the ridiculous notice. Okay, so here in Washington, a guy digs himself out. Then he posts a writ, like a typical Washington bureaucrat. It's a printed out writ to a tied, you know, like stapled to a board, mm-hmm. driven into the snow, like a post. And it's laminated. And it says, hi, I spent a lot of time, energy, and some money to get this spot cleared. Now, I understand that technically I cannot, quote marks, reserve this spot. You are, quote mark, free to park if you wish. Know that if you do, I will place the snow back around your car. Thank you, so-and-so.
We should probably give a shout-out to Andrea Noble of the Washington Times, who's actually the one who snapped the photo of this. And actually was very generous in letting the Tribune use permission to use it.
Yeah. Are we going to have we used it? I don't know exactly.
I don't know either.
But that photograph of that dibs is the most pathetic dibs I ever saw in my life. Please. And like such a passive aggressive threatening, like I'll use my clout, but I'm not going to really say it, but you know I will. Here's one from Philadelphia. All right. Brotherly love. It's not print. It's printed out. It's on a piece of torn cardboard, written with a marker, scrawled, and it says, "If you park in my space, I'll break your bleeping windows." And he didn't use bleeping. Have a nice day.
That's the Philly way.
That's the Philly way. That's the Chicago way. Don't park in someone's space. Now I have to go out there and arbitrate. And then a fellow from the New York Post, John Podoritz, texts me and says, or tweets me and says, can a human being be dibs? And this is the question for you guys. Can you have a human being stand there and be your dibs marker?
If you pay him enough, yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah,
that, there that's the enough. Chicago way.
A government worker? Like some payroller for a Democrat, a congressman, exactly. A Republican?
You could use anything, I suppose. I mean, you know, I would respect dibs. I'm not going to move it out the way. But John, let me give you a scenario.
You're starting to go commie on me, too.
Oh, totally.
I respect dibs,
totally.
But...
Totally.
Yeah, right. All right, go.
Well, that's the whole thing. Now, let's say that I'm sick at home and you're bringing me soup as you are often want
I
to do.
I often do.
Now, of course, this is a moot thing because we are a little bit more genteel in Hyde Park where I live. We don't do such things as dibs. We don't need that sort of thing. But if we did, you stop by the Casa de Will and then you see that all the spot bases are, you know, all filled
is
up except
the,
for one.
Where the beads are over the doors, so I have to separate the beads.
Are you spying on me, John?
Right, go on, that go on.
But you see one spot, you just want to drop the soup off to me.
Right.
And you don't want to have to. Do you break dibs and park in a spot and just run up and bring the soup to me, or do you dig out your own spot?
I have to move someone's dib markers, correct?
Right.
Do not touch the damn dibs markers.
But I'm about
it's
to
called
die, John.
Dibs.
I'm
what?
About to die, John. I need your soup. I need the soup right away.
Then crawl out on your hands and knees in the snow like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, okay? For God's sake.
I actually need a ruling from you on this, John.
Yeah.
In our neighborhood in Andersonville.
Judge Dibs.
Judge Dibs must rule. We've got, there's a section where the plow comes through and it just, you know, it'll clear off a couple of spots where the plow will hit because there's the alley and an abandoned lot. So they have a parking, right. A pad of driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I've got neighbors who will then dibs those spots. They didn't shovel them. They just go up there and lay crap, their garbage in those spots, and then they move it and park there.
No. Judge Dibs says, this is the American way. Is a man not, should a man not enjoy the fruits of his own labors? This is America still. It's not Bernie Sandersville yet, right? It's America still. So
it's not Ayn Rand land either.
It's not Ayn Rand. You don't have to go extreme. Just say Washington Jefferson and
it's not even Rand Paul land.
Not Rand. I wish it was Rand Paul land. But in this one, a man should, if you dig it out, you can claim it. But you cannot claim, like, dibs if you didn't dig it. Dig it. Right?
So I
heard one from you, Mr. Carlin, in the hallway on the way in, Jeff Carlin, a longtime producer and big Hawk fan, a bearded fellow. And that is, you told me about a weird, perverse dibs in Wicker Park involving jeans. Please explain.
Yeah, so apparently there's this trend, I guess is what you would call it, but it's people are freezing their pants. They take, like, a pair of jeans, they soak them in water, and they let them freeze out overnight, and then they're stiff, and they plant them in the ground, or the snow, and they use that for dibs. So that's on a table or a box of shoes or whatever you're planning, you know, use your dib space, but you put a frozen pair of pants down as your dibs marker. Is that legal dibsing?
How perfectly hipster of that, by the way.
What kind of, are they, if they were like
they're skinny jeans, most likely.
Salmon yellow, if they're like the yellow mustard pants.
I doubt it.
Or the salmon pants, that would be, right, with a cardigan,
sure,
beard,
sure.
And a bearded, like, mannequin top and glasses.
A flannel shirt.
Someone who looks like that a little bit. I don't know who that is. But, Jeff Carlin, but I think that's a great idea.
All right.
I would take it one better. You would take straw or newspapers, and you would wet your jeans. Then you would fill it out with newspaper so it looks like it's, you know, someone sit in there. Maybe put a lot in the behind part to make it fill out, you know?
So a scarecrow.
Kind of like a half-man scarecrow. Yeah.
A frozen scarecrow.
That would be nice, a couple of them. And you know why that's logical and good? Why it's in keeping with the dibstitution?
I don't know.
Because it's relatively organic in the sense that once it's above freezing, those jeans will sag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deal. You can't have dibs. It's not like Chinatown dibs, where some guy named Joey Bag of Donuts is in front of the KB and there's three guys holding dibs for him in July. You can't have that.
So
there's no Grand Avenue dibs in front of Poor Richard's bar. You know what I mean? Like, don't park there. That's dibs. That's Albie's dibs. No, no, no. You can have dibs in the summer. It's only in the winter.
Below freezing. So if it's like 32 degrees and someone's got dib stuff, I can just drive over their stuff because stuff's starting to melt.
I think you should only have dibs for a few days until the snow goes, right?
Right.
You can't have dibs for like from January till March, the same part. Now, here's another one. In this, some people are apartment dwellers like Will Lee, who live in high rises, like in the, you know, in the elevated, like the Hyde Park, which is like its own universe of goodness. And reason, okay? And other people live in bungalows, right? I'm more from the bungalow side of town. Now in the neighborhood village where we live, nobody can even park on the street.
Yeah, overnight, yeah.
That is so cool. It's so like, you don't belong here. I love it. But in the city, you should be able to park in front of your own house.
Yeah.
Don't park in front of my house. You got your own, park in front of your own property, as we say.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you. So I think there's a new movie we should need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Dibs Goes to Washington.
I'm right. That column's written. You may have already read it. It involved, I think I'm going to take the smog part out. Betty read it earlier and said, don't take the smog part out. And so did Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like the smog. I think you're right. It's a morning paper. You can't read about, like, dragon diarrhea, right, in the morning. I'll take that part out.
It's never on my to-do list.
I'll take smog out and put John Podoritz in.
Sounds good.
All right?
But I think we should do Jimmy Stewart-esque, you know, Judge Dibs Goes to Washington.
Jimmy Stewart would be such a, he'd be singing the International. You know what I mean? The Soviet anthem, the old Soviet anthem, like the Soviet choir. That's how some people are in this town. Oh, Cass, we're like a get rid of the chair or whatever. Andersonville, Wicker Park, hipster land movement that they start. Remember they tried to do that? Like, no chair, right? It was like a big, it's like a wimpy movement, wasn't it? A couple years ago?
Yeah.
It doesn't last. People go with dibs. It's like a default position in the darkest part of the human soul.
Can I say
that's where I live.
Can I say something, though?
Yes, please.
I just have to add this. I don't ever shovel. I've never shoveled it. I drive out of my space. I don't care how big it is. I will rock that car out of it until I get out of it. So at that point, I say it's first come, first serve. You know?
If you don't shovel it and you don't mark it, you don't have it. But I think some people take dibs too far. You don't. If you can drive over it, you can drive over the snow. There's no dibs.
Yeah.
Well, you can have dibs like in Washington. They have like half an inch of snow. In parts of it, you can have dibs there.
So
it doesn't work.
Now we just need to get signs.
Like that weasel?
It's a dib zone. So, you know, this sign will be, you know, snow is above 2 inches, temperatures below 32 degrees.
Yeah, this is not a
zip. This is a dib zone. Shovel it, you keep it.
I'll wait for WGN Plus to take pictures of me in a black robe and then do a whole dibs promo for this. You think they'll do it?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure. I'm just going to get a robe. Maybe we can just get a photo. We can Photoshop a robe on you. That'd be easier.
Until then, let's
get those signs together. Let's start putting down and start selling those at the auto zones and such. I'm sure that's where they do it.
Signs forever. They're a stupid thing in this city.
Well, one of the reasons why I had to do the column early is because we have an announcement to make today. Okay? Can I go there?
Yeah, go for it.
Will, make your announcement.
I am leaving John to go back to pursue a career in journalism as a GA reporter for the Chicago Tribune.
Which means you'll be working for the newspaper as you have been.
Yes.
But now you'll be writing under your own byline. Fly, little bird, fly. I'm so proud of you. You lock your wings and soar across the city. And you will stand in the cold and talk to people who've just seen murders.
Right. Right. As always.
And you'll stand in gaggles of reporters waiting for some alderman to make a statement, right? This is what you're going to be doing now.
Well, hopefully after the years of experience now, I will learn who to talk to right away, talk to them, and then get the hell out of there while everybody else is waiting like a bunch of rubes. But, yes.
Oh, you talk to them right away is good.
Yeah.
That's another issue.
Yes.
We don't want to go there now.
Oh, we can.
Do we? Oh, yeah. We can.
No, I mean, now I'm interested.
All right. Yeah. So, anyway, he's leaving, and they're not going to replace him.
It's like, John, you're going to have to work now.
Yeah. I'm going to start tripping. My lip is quivering like a little baby. Yeah, I'm going to do four columns a week without a leg bend.
Jeez.
So this might be the final podcast before I die. And if I do, remember, only my good leg man who stayed with me and didn't abandon me can write my obit. And will, too.
And will, too. I'm being pulled from here.
Here's how it works, okay? We've had a lot of layoffs and buyouts, right? We've lost a lot of people. And I look at the stuff we have in the paper this week, right? David Kidwell and company and the conviction of the John Bills, right?
Yeah.
The bag man, all that stuff that they did. And all the great stuff that everyone's doing in politics and the arts and all the different things everyone's hustling to get stories of sports. And having a leg man is not, it's not right. Or it's right for me because it helps me, but you can't really ask for one with so many changes. And we're down so many people. We need reporters out there. So, yeah, it's a tough thing, but it might change the column, and that's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
It might change it where I'm not waiting till 8 o'clock the night before to write a column, right? Because you're thinking, we've done that.
Yeah.
What's the best thing of the day that'll be fresh tomorrow?
Right.
It's a different kind of thinking now. What do you think it is? What is it?
Well, I think it's just, it's more planning. It's more sort of, I'll say this. John comes up with a lot of good ideas that he just kind of bags at the last minute. He's like, I don't want to do this. He'll come up with things that I know would be popular online or popular in the paper, and he'll just kind of toss them around and like, we'll just come up with something else. Now he just has to seize upon the good ideas that he has and use those instead of just, you know, waiting till the last minute, which is true.
So one of the things about writing a column is you always wait to the last minute to write if you write off the news, which is what I do, the freshest thing.
Sure.
And there's always, in the newspaper business, there's always a feeling that there's another big story about to break. Because we know what, because we're in it. So we know other stuff is breaking or happening and just hasn't hatched yet.
Yeah.
And so you're waiting and waiting. And sometimes you run the risk of sacrificing writing. Not that I'm John Steinbeck. We'll get into that. Or you sacrifice pace in order to get freshness. And I think you can still write a good column if it's not exactly right off the news 5 minutes ago. We'll see. I hope you guys stay with me, and we'll see.
So then you're going to be extra busy and have to get around town, John. Are you going to get a Divvy bike?
I think I would like a rickshaw.
Ooh. But then you see, you need somebody to pull you on the rickshaw.
Aren't you going
to
do that?
No, I've got other things to do.
You
got to
do the Rowe show and prepare for they have a leg band.
What's
right?
Yeah.
Rowe and Anna have a leg band. It's you. You're the leg man.
Yeah, I'm the leg man.
That's what a producer is, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You put stuff. What do? You call guys?
Yeah.
Call guests?
I read a lot of things and call guests and call reporters like yourself. And,
right. Can you do 5 minutes with Rowe?
Yeah, talk
right.
about a topic, ask some questions about a piece. Or, like we had John Chase on this week talking about the ROM text messages. And just kind of
did he read them?
Yeah.
Did you read them dramatically?
No. We did a little bit, but
what, with Rowe and Anna? Who is ROM?
Rowe is ROM. Rowe was just reading them is just sarcastically because they were, that mayor here. Really? You think that's what he does?
What was the one that you guys thought was the most fascinating text? Now, we're talking about Tribune story, Chase and Bill Ruthart, right?
Yeah, Ruthart, yeah.
And they got a story. They made requests. They got Rom's text from his city phone.
Even though he says he doesn't have a city phone.
The Tribune is still, I think, we're in a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Trying to get the real stuff, which is the personal email and text from his personal phone. That's how he and Hillary, that's why Hillary's in so much trouble, because she tried to put all that stuff on her personal server.
Yeah, official work.
So that no one would, so the public and the oversight of Congress would not see what she's doing. And look, now she's facing possibly indictment. So Rahm had his text. The one I liked, when they tell him a police had shot someone, what did he say? Like, are the reporters breathlessly waiting for a story? Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that was it. Yeah, that was it.
That's what he cares about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the same guy who had no knowledge of supposedly a shooting that caused the city to pay $5 million.
Well, I'll say this, and I think I've shared with John before, when I was still working overnights, I heard from might have been a cop or somebody up in a position in the city who told me that whenever we were basically waiting for overnight shootings, and we were told specifically that the mayor did not want stories, newsworthy stories, to go out online before he had a chance to be briefed on them. That was just common knowledge. So he is very well, versed in wanting to get ahead of a story before it blows up and becomes something big.
That was the subject, in a way, his penchant for control led him to, in my opinion, and I wrote it before all this broke, right? Back before I was on even talking. I think I was writing it when I was on a show with you for Rowe and Anna.
Yeah.
Where I was actually writing a column. I didn't tell you I was writing it, but it was the one about the city will be torn apart politically by this video that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
No one was really paying attention. The kid was shot, and he was trying to get away and shot on the ground, white cop, black kid. Rahm said on that video so he could get elected. And since then, his credibility with Chicago, particularly with black Chicago and with cops, has gone down the tubes. At the same time, in the first 3 weeks of this year, we've had how many, Will?
Well, more than 200 people shot.
About 250.
Over, yeah, over 250, yeah.
Yeah.
And about 45 some killed. Homicides.
Right.
Right. So, and the other 200 that weren't killed didn't die because of great paramedics,
sure,
and great trauma centers. So you have the gang wars escalating, most of it's gangs. You had that gang shooting a homicide at the hotel, right? Where was it, at the what hotel?
That's the Hyatt Regency over at the McCormick Place.
Yeah. Let's hang out before a Bears game next time.
Jeez.
Right? That's going to hurt that hotel. And you have all that, and Rahm, in a normal year, any mayor, and I've seen several mayors now, would stand up and say, we're going to be tough on this gang crime. We're going to go after them. You're not safe anywhere, you thugs. We're saying the police will find you. But now, in the post-Laquan McDonald, Jeff Carlin and Will Lee, the argument that I made in the column this week was that Rahm has gone fetal, that he really can't say that. And to me, that's a huge dilemma for the city of Chicago, for the mayor, for the police department, and so on.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right, John. I mean, it's staggering, you know. What's he supposed to do now? He can't. Damn if he does, damn if he doesn't.
Right. To give him the benefit of the doubt there, because I do know, and I think Will will agree, I think Rahm Emanuel does feel a measure of, if not paternalism, at least ownership of the city. And when people get killed, particularly kids, it breaks them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's human. He just irritatingly, he won't show his humanity.
Right.
That's his problem. But I don't know what he's supposed to do.
Especially, I mean, it's funny because my parents, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, but my parents have always talked about the violence and say, oh, you know, it's terrible. People are going to stop going downtown. And I always would say, well, you know, the bulk majority of the violence is, you know, curtailed to specific areas that you just wouldn't go to anyway. But now you have something.
Yeah, old neighborhood.
Right, your old neighborhood. Well, I mean, it's changed out throughout the years, obviously, but predominantly. Now you have something like this, the shooting at McCormick Place, where that Loyola Basketball Center is going to be built or being built. And it's where a lot of money is spent to bring people into the city to come downtown and from outside of the city. It's got to change people's minds that this is right there. I mean, it's now beyond just, you know, it's just the sides where you can kind of overlook it because you don't go to those neighborhoods.
You mean you can shut it out of your mind because...
Right. I mean, the most people, I mean, can just they don't see it every day or they just ignore it because they're not going to be going to those areas. But now it's another piece where it's like, oh, Rahm, what's he supposed to do? People are going to be mad at him, but he can't do anything, really.
Well, the fear of spillover has always been part of Chicago, and it's the whole thing afraid of
spillover
from one neighborhood that is troubled over to the next one to adjacent. What's funny about that
are the hordes being driven out by Genghis Khan, that kind of thing. Right?
That hotel where the shooting happened is just a couple of weeks ago. That's where the mayor was for the MLK breakfast, where it was the center of all of that. So it's supposed to be the new taking. That was a part of Bronzeville that they're trying to.
Right,
where they're really gentrifying and trying to move. They're really trying to move the South Loop further south so that all of that gentrification efforts are doing and it's starting to work. But as far as the crime situation, I think Jeff is right to some extent. And some of it is what the city wants. They want you to realize, well, we have some troubled areas, but the rest of the city is fine. If you're a tourist and you're downtown at these hotels, you'll be perfectly safe because all of that stuff is gang related, which is a lot. Some of the messages that they're trying to give us whenever there's a shooting. Oh, it's gang related. So it's specific people.
In other words, blow it off.
Right.
Or it's not. That's always been my art. Well, you know this because we've been working together. That's why we did the columns on the imperfect victims, because they're victims too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because you have a record doesn't mean you could get shot. And what if you weren't doing anything and somebody's shooting you because, well, whatever, you wanted dice or something, right?
Well, it's not just that. It's also yesterday we had a 76-year-old man get killed on the far south side. And we don't know what the situation of that is. And it's people like that, regular folks who are grandparents or working people, people who are retired, or school teachers, whomever, who are getting killed in a crossfire. So whenever the city goes up, if this crime is going badly, regular innocent victims are going to get caught in the crossfire. And that just sends more people out of the city.
That's why I was glad to speak to Alderman Roderick Sawyer of the 6th Ward, whose father, Gene Sawyer, was the mayor. And I told Roderick that I owed his dad $20 from betting on a fight. I took Duran. Former Mayor Sawyer took Leonard in the second fight. Yeah, I lost the money, but I never paid him. But I didn't. It's not that I didn't want to. I just didn't. So I kind of felt guilty. But he says that the mayor is in a very difficult, and he's a critic, but said the mayor's in a very difficult spot here. And he also said, if you're a black officer, you're still going to meet aggression with aggression. If you're a white cop in his ward, you're going to think twice. Now, usually people aren't that frank, but really I thought it was pretty honest. You know, these cops want to get through their career with a pension and a job. And now all that's bollocksed up too.
Well, you're right about aggression with aggression, just because it depends on what type of cop you are also. If you're in a neighborhood and you have to be the one who has to stop the kids with the guns and check them out.
That means you're a young cop,
right?
Because you didn't get to be on, you know, on Michigan Avenue. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the cops who are secure in seniority get to pick their spots.
But more than that, John, you can't be a punk. You can't be a copper who's going out there stopping people, pulling them over, talking
afraid?
To them, and afraid, because you're going to get tested by people who are in the community who are criminals. Not like horrible criminals, but criminals who have a job to do and who have to do it. They're trying to.
I have a job. I have to sling narcotics.
Get off.
What's the line? Step up or step off, right?
Well, that's the thing about it. We've done this job. We've done this job for such a long time. You know that there are people, cops are cops and criminals are criminals. They're not going to change their spots, but there is...
Reporters are reporters.
But there is a level of respect between them. And if there's a new cop on the beat, the first thing they're going to be trying to do is, who are you? Are you some
punk? Are you going to punk out? Right.
Right. And
Fish!
A cop in these streets have to be respected, if nothing else. So you have to be willing to throw some hands. And I think some criminals respect that more than somebody.
But how can you throw hands when everyone's got a video? So you won't have the hands being thrown on you as a police officer. You'll just be, you'll see the other part of the video, right?
Man.
Maybe that's why everybody needs body cams. I don't know. Anyway, this is next week. I plan to interview, if it still works out, police officers about their morale on Monday. And then we're going to look at, you know, that kid that's running against Madigan in the district out there on the southwest side?
Jason Gonzalez.
Let's see what he has to say about the state of the state, which we're broke.
Yeah.
Everyone's leaving. Jobs are gone. 47% of young African Americans are either out of school or out of work.
Yeah, 20 to 24. Your old blacks and southwest side majority.
And they're still voting Democrat. And people, you know what?
Those guys aren't voting.
No. But people still vote Democrat and still play this, white privilege thing or whatever. And whatever anyone wants to play in terms of their political game, legitimate or not legitimate, the fact is that for 40 years, Michael Madigan's been the boss, that for 100 years, the Dailies and the Machine have run Chicago. This is a Democratic town, and you can't blame Bush or Nixon for everything. Someday you got to look in the mirror and say, look, I'm a Democrat, I live in the suburbs, or I'm a Republican living in the suburbs. If I vote for that guy who's a Democrat in the state legislature, all I'm doing is voting for Mike Madigan to be the boss. That's all you're doing.
So who should they vote for? Who are you going to vote for who's not there?
I think I got to figure out, and maybe I'll figure this out in the column, what the best approach to do. And then in the coming days, I'll come up with it. What's the best approach for the state? But having that bony little leprechaun sitting up on the Iron Throne like a mad King Joffrey, but he's like 75 years old and still running strong, 40 years. Boss of the state. And look, you know, you can say what you want about Rauner, and he's kind of a bull in the china shop, right? And oh my God, he might cut this, he might cut that, but that's what he got elected to do. And on the other side, you have, they're submitting budgets that are $5 billion in arrears, whatever you call it, where they don't match, it doesn't match up revenue.
Yeah.
How can you do that? How do you keep, if I'm a businessman, or businesswoman with this voice and body, I don't think so. But if I a business person, do you want to invest in Illinois? You want to come here? High taxes, the 47% issue, the schools don't work for 40 years, 50 years. What do you think you're doing? Are you really going to come here and start something? So wake up. By the time if this doesn't change this year, what you're going to have is a bunch of people who work for public unions. And old people and kids.
Yeah, but the kids are leaving.
The kids are leaving. Like, Chicago is now, I'd say, old people and young people. No middle, not middle groups of families anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think that's the demographics are such, and I'll tell you why I believe that. A friend of mine was talking about developing some property, and the city says, we can't afford to build the kind of schools necessary to satisfy the needs of the middle class. Now, that's what they think on the inside. They haven't told you, and I haven't written it. No one's written it, but I'm telling you that's what it is. And so if they don't change, if things don't change radically, we're in big trouble. Detroit or not.
Well, the jobs, that 47% number is huge and is devastating. And I think my mouth literally dropped open just because. But then at the same time, it is the other side of the crime story, which is a lot of people are wondering, like a lot of people don't really haven't put it together. But it's if there are no jobs to be had, if you're a young man and there's no jobs to be had, what can you do? And unfortunately, drugs are one of the few jobs that are always open.
That's why I've argued that if you legalize drugs and those young men don't have drugs for cash money, the city will burn because those guys need money. That's what it's about. But
no, but you can fix that. That's easy.
Well, really? What?
Oh, yeah. Because if you legalize drugs, it becomes a whole new industry.
Oh, and they're going to get a piece of it, or is it going to be somebody political guy driving a Lincoln down to Springfield?
I'm not talking about the guys.
It's not going to be these kids.
I'm not talking about the guys who are going to be managing.
I'm talking about the kids slinging on the corners.
Yeah, but you need drug dens. You need. I mean, look in Europe. I mean, they've got places where are run. It's like a Starbucks, but it's for going in and getting doped out. And if you die or you OD, there's usually some professional on staff who can come in and who's going to treat people.
Dude, that's nice. Okay, I guess. I haven't been to the hashish palaces of Amsterdam, but that's not what these kids can do.
Sure. If they can work at Starbucks, they can work there.
Well, it's not. I see what you're saying, Jeff, but it's not the industry, even if it was legalized. They won't be making the money. It won't become like the McDonald's where anybody can work. I think if you look at the Colorado example, it's still people who are very specialized. It's people who are in special positions who are able to kind of take advantage and make all of that money.
But that's just one.
That's
drug.
One aspect.
One drug. I mean, you're talking about if you went from the it wouldn't couldn't happen at state level and work its way up. It'd have to come from a federal down. But if you worked,
it should be the other way.
But as things stand, marijuana is technically still illegal in Colorado as far as the federal government's concerned.
Right.
So there's no banks. There's no people investing. There's no one putting any.
They should elect Rand Paul.
Maybe
the states do.
If you went and class ones were all legalized, but they were put under a heavily regulated control, like coffee is or like beer is. People would be able to build an industry around them, and it would be multifaceted.
But you know what? An industry doesn't mean some 12-year-old is getting a high sign from some 18-year-old on the other corner to go to the place under the rock to grab the stuff, okay? And give it to the kid, the little girl in her daddy's BMW with her ponytail from Hinsdale. That's not what those guys aren't going to be part of it, and they're the ones who pull the triggers. So, and another thing, the argument about the 47%, which stunned me and stunned Will, even though we knew it in our guts, and anybody who's been familiar with Chicago has a feeling, but now you see the number. What I don't think is the right response, and even though it started coming out, we need jobs and programs. We need more programs. We need more summer jobs. Like what? Some politician at City Hall is going to give you a clipboard and you're going to go and ask other people stuff for a minimum wage job handed to you by politicians and government so you can vote them in and they can keep doing the same stuff to you again and again and again. 40, 50. I've been a kid. I was born in the 50s. I've grown up in this town and nearby suburb. I love this city. I don't ever want to leave it, and I'm just telling you that what I see is if people don't wake the bleep up and quit subsidizing the political structure that is stabbing them in the heart, Black Chicago should be extremely upset here. They should say, we know it for a fact now. You have jammed us to death. But I don't see that anger. All I see is some kind of, let's have another program. Let's have another program? How many programs do we need to have before another generation of kids is thrown on the ash heap? I don't see any anger about it. It's just kind of like, how are we going to respond with a program where we have another program? Another program? We got to go to war here. How many kids are we talking about? How many kids?
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands. We have to, but you can't do it with centralized control and Democratic bosses, or if it were reversed, Republican bosses, because there are states and locations that have one-party control. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work. You have to turn Chicago into a Hong Kong, bring business, something.
Oh, you just said a business. That's what we need. Who's hiring?
How are you going to bring business when you got Mike Madigan and John Cullerton saying we're going to raise property taxes, but we're not, or income taxes, but we're not going to do anything to make it easier to open a business here? Anybody, any you book guests, Jeff Carlin, for Roe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get, you do interviews on occasion for me, right?
Sure. Well,
of all the people you guys have talked to, have you heard anyone say that what I'm telling you now? Or is it mostly we can manage this disaster?
The people I talk to who agree with you and speak to what you're speaking say it off the record. I mean, they say that, yeah, that's what has to be done, but that's not going to be what has done. And then that's not the reality. The reality is people want programs.
Who wants programs? The politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, I've got a, there are, and the problem is it's not just, it's bad enough when it's a people that we enslaved years ago or still screwed up. That's sin enough, right? Sin number one.
Mm-hmm.
Sin number two, the schools, the bad public education we give them is a civil rights crime. Sin number three, it's not just black people. It is Latinos and it is whites and everyone falling through the crack. And I'm trying to get everybody, I'm just saying that you programs do not work. All programs do is get the guy in the back of the Cadillac with the clipboard and the phone in his hand to get more votes out of his people. It doesn't help them. I mean, doesn't evidence look at the history. 40, 50 years. Tell me if I...
Well, I
you don't see it? I mean, am I just like a crazy man here?
Mm-hmm. No, well, I don't say...
Yes, I am crazy.
Programs aren't the total answer, but I think about to my grandfather who was part of Roosevelt's WPA, Works Progress Administration. Mm-hmm. That helped him, but he also had a fire and drive like men of his generation who had
to
work.
But there was a culture that he grew up in that wasn't dependent on government. Your grandfather grew up in a culture that was... like there were racists who were trying to kick his ass, so that's why he came north, right?
Well, also people, maybe also mention people starved back then. You could starve to death in this country back then when he was a kid, whereas now no one really has to starve to death if you don't want to. But I agree that programs aren't everything. You need jobs. When he also came to this city, there were also steel mills and railroad jobs and factories.
Tell Obama, in 8 years... Right, that Obama's been president and black Chicago and black America have been waiting for this guy to do something for him, right? And he hasn't. And they've all stepped around it. Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, guys like that have touched on it. But everyone's been kind of, let's not go too crazy about it. Well, if you are Mr. Environmentalist and you get rid of the smokestacks and you get rid of the factories because maybe some soot goes in the air, you don't have jobs that people need on the south and west sides in factories and manufacturing. So a black kid has to go from Ontario or like Ohio and Pulaski and go all the way out to Elk Grove Village by four buses to work there for a job. And I know that. Why do I know this? Because I know the guy and I talk to him. People do it. But why aren't there jobs elsewhere? Why aren't there jobs in the city? Corruption, taxes, crime, stupidity from City Hall, stupidity from the state, and a stranglehold by gangsters who've destroyed this state. Trumbull Owens, listen. I wanted to talk about dibs and be funny. I got myself crazy. Wake up, Trumbull Owens. It's your state, and we're losing it. This is John Cass, Chicago Way with Will Lee and Jeff Carlin. And thanks. And I hope you guys go into on social media, follow me there, and give me some news tips because now without Will, I'll be freaking out. So I'll need some help. Thank you very much. See you next week.
John, give me your Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah, it's at John underscore Cass. And the...
K-A-S-S.
Yeah, not C-A-S-T, like some people say. Mr. Cast, you know, like they type it, you know, on their email as if they're writing in red crayon. I can tell. You know, it's no, it's at John underscore Cass. And you can find me on Facebook. There's two Facebook pages. Help me out. Come on, send me a tip. Thanks a lot. See you next week.